So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text 51. Prithu Maharaj meets with the Kumaras. Now it's describing the qualities of Maharaj Prithu. Palambramani sanyasya. Nirvisanga samahita. Karmadyaksham cha manavam. Atmanam prakate param. Bolie. Palam. Result. Brahmani. In the absolute truth. Sanyasya. Giving up. Nirvisangaha. Without being contaminated. Samahita, completely dedicated. Karma, activity. Adyaksham, superintendent. Cha, and Manvanaha, always thinking of. Atmanam, the super soul. Prakrite, of material nature, param, transcendental. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Pariksit completely dedicated himself to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendental to material nature. Consequently, all the fruits of his activities were dedicated to the Lord, and he always thought of himself as the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of everything. Please repeat. Maharaj Prithu completely dedicated himself to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendental to material nature. Consequently, all the fruits of his activities were dedicated to the Lord. And he always thought of himself as the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of everything. Wow. And there's like a big purport. The life and dedication of Maharaj Prithu in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead serves as a good example of karma yoga. The term karma yoga is often used in Bhagavad Gita. Now herein, Maharaj Prithu is giving a practical example of what karma yoga actually is. The first requirement for the proper execution of karma yoga is given herein. Palam brahmani sanyasya, or vinyasya. One must give the fruits of his activities to the Supreme Brahman, Param Brahman, Krishna. By doing so, one actually situates himself in the renounced order of life, sannyasa. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.2, giving up the fruits of one's activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sannyas. Kamyanam karmanam yasa sannyasam kavayo vidahu sarvakama palatyagam prabhuschagam vichakshanaha. To give up the results of all activities is called renunciation, tyaga, by the wise, and that state is called the renounced order of life, sannyasa, by great learned men. Although he was living as a householder, Prithu Maharaj was actually in the renounced order of life, sannyas. This will be clear in the following verses. The word nirvisanga, uncontaminated, is very significant because Maharaj Prithu was not attached to the results of his activities. In this material world, a person is always thinking of the proprietorship of everything he accumulates or works for. When the fruits of one's activities are rendered to the service of the Lord, one is actually practicing karma yoga. Anyone can practice karma yoga, but it is especially easy for the householder who can install the deity of the Lord in the home and worship him according to the methods of bhakti yoga. This method includes 9 items: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshiping the deity, praying, carrying out orders, serving Krishna as friend, and sacrificing everything for him. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. Bhagavatam, what text number? 7, 5, 23. Okay, 2 and 3 is 5, right? Okay, 7, 5, 23. These methods of karma yoga and bhakti yoga are being broadcast all over the world by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Anyone can learn these methods simply by following the examples of the members of the society. In one's home or in a temple, the deity is considered the proprietor of everything, and everyone is considered the deity's eternal servant. The Lord is transcendental, for he is not part of this material creation. The words prakritahe and param are used in this verse because everything within the material world is created by the external material energy of the Lord. But the Lord himself is not a creation of this material energy. The Lord is the supreme superintendent of all material creations, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Mayadvyakshena prakriti suyate sa chara charam hetunon hetunan inakonteya jigar viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all the moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. All material changes and material progress taking place by the wonderful interactions of matter are under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Events in the material world are not taking place blindly. If one always remains a servant of Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai, Srimati Radharani Ki. Okay. Time for breakfast, no? Time for breakfast? Okay. Yeah. Events in the material world are not taking place blindly. If one always remains a servant of Krishna and engages everything in his service, one is accepted as Jivan Mukta, a liberated soul, even during his lifetime within the material world. Generally, liberation takes place after one gives up this body. But one who lives according to the example of Prithu Maharaj is liberated even in this lifetime. In Krishna consciousness, the results of one's activities depend upon the will of the Supreme Person. Indeed, in all cases, the result is not dependent on one's own personal dexterity, but is completely dependent on the will of the Supreme. This is the real significance of Palam Brahmani Sannyasya. A soul dedicated to the service of the Lord should never think of himself as the supreme proprietor or the superintendent. A dedicated devotee should prosecute his work according to the rules and regulations described in devotional service. The results of his activities are completely dependent on the supreme will of the Lord. So, Papa Ghi. So it's long purport. Yeah. And I guess so Maharaj Prithu, he's doing a sacrifice, no? One sacrifice like that. And then the 4 Kumaras come from the sky, and he asks them very nice questions, and they answer, you know, that the ultimate goal, the ultimate activity is devotional service. And then it's glorifying his qualities here for about maybe 10, 12 verses, like that. You know? And that's the end of the chapter. And a lot of it's like this. It's just describing his qualities as a karma yogi. And then there's a king. It says that, you know, when Maharaj Prithu made his decision about what should be done, nobody could deny his will. Everybody, even the gods in heaven, had to accept what he said, like that. And it describes he also is extremely shy and humble like that, you know. So he's very powerful, but at the same time he was very, very, you know, gentle, you know, like that. And so all the good qualities of a king, you know. Yeah. And of course, you know, again, this is karma yoga. We mentioned this yesterday for our comprehension, that this is, you know, this is the first thing in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna explains pretty much is Sankhya. He analyzes what is this world, and, you know, we're not the body. Yeah, the body is always changing. Shakespeare talks about this. One play called As You Like It, right? As opposed to As It Is, Bhagavad Gita, As You Like It, you know. And he says, all the world's a stage, and the men and women therein mere actors. And a man in his life plays seven parts. The infant, mewling and puking in his mother's arms, like that. It's old English, yeah. And then the little child with shining morning face and his book bag, making at snail's pace to school. You remember this, going to school, you're just like this, really dragging to get there, talking with your friends, yeah. Okay. And then next is the young man, you know, falling in love, is sighing like the furnace, you know, composing poems glorifying his mistress's eyebrows. Oh, Juliet, your eyebrows are like two arched bows that have pierced my heart. like that. The next one is the young warrior defending his country, you know, bearded like the leopard, full of strange saying and brave oaths, even into the cannon's mouth. Vive la France! like that. And if he survives that, the next one is the justice, the judge, with good cape on, full of wise sayings and modern instances, very, you know, clever and very pithy phrases and seeing things, very practical. The next stage is old age, his big manly pipes, now a mere whistle, and his skinny legs, now too narrow for the wide world, like that. Yeah. And the last thing in this dhamma is mere oblivion, death, right? So ends eyes, so ends teeth, so ends everything, like that. So very graphic, very nice, Shakespeare, like that. But also King Solomon has the same thing. He's changing bodies, like that. And of course, Bhagavad Gita, Dehinoshmin, Yata Adehe. So it's a very basic comprehension to all, a bunch of different philosophers. You just look at this, you know. So that's the first thing, is Sankhya, is the soul is different than the body, you know. And, well, that's about it. You know? The Supreme Soul is not mentioned so much, or that kind of thing. And each soul being different from other souls is kind of like implied exactly. It's just not directly, you know. You know, there was a time when I did not exist, nor you. Okay, so the individual souls are different. The body is made of material nature. It's going through changes under the influence of the time factor. And then about, 230, 235 or something, then Krishna starts to talk about Buddha Yoga. I mentioned this yesterday, you know. And mostly he's glorifying how great it is, and he's also talking about those people who don't follow Buddha Yoga, they go to hell and get involved like that. You know, Nihabi Kramo Nashosti Pratyavayana Vidyate Swapamapi Yasya Dharmasya. Yeah, there's no loss in this Buddha Yoga. A little bit of it's very nice, you know. Buddha Yoga. And of course, we mentioned it, he says that Buddha Yoga means that you have a right to do your karma. You have a right to follow your dharma as a kshatriya. You have a right to do that. You know? But you haven't got a right to the results like that. You know? And you should never think of yourself the cause of the results. So Prabhupada's mentioning all these points in the purport. One after another, you see these points being mentioned like that. It's that one phrase. You know? Then Prabhupada finishes off a chapter 2, and he says that, how's it go? That one who follows these rules and regulations, he goes to the kingdom of God. So what is the Sanskrit for the kingdom of God? You know there? Brahma Nirvanam, like that. You know, so the Buddhists would, you know, just drop dead if they heard someone translating Brahma Nirvana as the kingdom of God, like that. It's just like, you know. It's strange too, because it's Buddha Yoga, there's Buddha, and the phrase is Nirvana, which is their big, you know, their big slogan is Nirvana. So then, that finishes chapter 2, And then Prabhupada says, everything is there in chapter 2, you know, but it's not detailed enough for Arjuna to do any kind of practical activity on that. So in chapter 3, then Krishna gives a practical description like that. Because Arjuna is still confused. Should I fight this battle or not fight the battle? You told me don't engage in ghastly fruitive activities, but you want me to fight, you want me to win the kingdom, you want me to regain Draupadi's honor, regain my brother's honor. So I'm confused, you know. And Prabhupada says, yes, it hasn't been clear enough. So chapter 3 makes it very clear, very practical. All living beings subsist on food grains. Food grains come from rain, rain comes from sacrifice, sacrifice comes from following your karma. Brahma karma, Brahmana karma, Kshatriya karma, Vaishya karma. You follow your karma, and karma is described in the Vedas. And yesterday we were talking about that from the Parasara's Dharma Shastra and different things like that. They give very specific details of what it means, how to be a lady's karma, Sri karma, Vaishya karma. Very detailed things about what is right, what is wrong. And if they don't mention anything, then they give a process. They say a synod of six brahmanas can come to the same conclusions about what is proper dharma and not improper, like that. For example, remarriage in ISKCON, we discussed that as a topic, we just make this decision. But Parasara gives specific rules about when a girl can remarry and not remarry, under what circumstances. And when there are no rules, and he says a synod of six brahmanas, they can get together and discuss it and arrive at very practical decisions like that. So, and that's it. So that's karma yoga. But again, we're mentioning, he says, you have a right to do your duty, but not for your own result. How many people here are fruitive workers? I'm always thinking about this, that, what that, gonna do this, gonna get that, gonna do that, gonna do this, And then, one for Krishna, one for me. One for Krishna, one for me. That's like, like that. My friend Bharata, he's a Prabhupada's disciple. He said he had this dream, and he made a very nice sandwich on homemade bread, with cheese and lettuce and all these things, In the dream, he put it on his altar in the dream. Namah Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Padaya Vishnu the prayers like that, He looked up and there was Krishna. And Krishna had come and was looking at the sandwich and saying, oh, Bharata, what a nice sandwich like that. Oh, homemade bread, everything. Oh, how nice, This is for me, And he was thinking in the dream, he was thinking, my God, Krishna actually came. He's going to eat my sandwich. So, and he also knew that Krishna knew that he knew that, this is going on like that. And then he woke up and he was thinking, wow, because it's very deep, The desire for fruity results are very deep. And even if we sacrifice the gross fruit like that, then there's still the subtle form of that, we follow the four principles, no illicit sexual relations. So a man and a woman, they combine together as husband and wife, but they're very strict about following the rules and regulations and they're, sexual relations. But still, there's a desire for profit adoration and distinction. Another friend, Yajnavalkya Das, he was in Boston, the Brahmacharya, a long time ago. And somebody asked him to lead Mangala Arati. He said, well, I don't know, come on, lead it. You're a good kirtan leader. Well, okay, So he's leading the kirtan, and it was going really well, and everybody was chanting and dancing. And he said he was thinking, wow, I bet all the Brahmacharinis are looking at me now and watching how nice I'm leading the kirtan like that, So he kind of like looked over, and they were all kind of like this, like, what's going on? He looked down, his dhoti had fallen off. So he was like, so he ran out of the room like that, cursing Krishna for all this. But every man wants to be adored by women, every woman wants to be adored by the men. And it's so subtle like that. So Krishna keeps arranging, it's not enough to hear this in one chapter, two chapters. We have to hear so many stories again and again and again like that, different perspectives. Daksha. Daksha was a very nice person, right? Very sincere, very determined. He was doing so many sacrifices. Sankirtan Yagdav, something is so much sacrifice. And he was appointed temple president by the GBC secretary, Lord Brahma. Then he got in this fight with the Food for Life guy, Lord Shiva. You can make this all in the modern language. I've done this actually, and it's like people, like, oh my God, it's happened at ISKCON Temple. And, no, it's just a story like that. But you can see it's exactly the same things we go through in ISKCON because we're becoming gods and goddesses, you know, by following this process. But even amongst the gods and goddesses, right, still so many subtle attachments like that. And so you hear this story about daksha and you realize, yeah, you know, I'm so competent, so qualified, but still I have this pride. And because of that, I start becoming offensive to people like that. And this is reaction like that, you know. What's another one? On and on. I mean, one nice project would be to go through the Bhagavatam and write down all the fall downs, right? It's every why he fell down. You know, it's just like that, you know. But pretty much everybody gets back up, you know, like that. You know? So it's a wonderful book for seeing all these problems. Hansaduda told us that Prabhupada said that every single psychological circumstance you can encounter is in Srimad Bhagavatam. You know? So if you understand Srimad Bhagavatam, you take it to heart, you hear these stories and meditate on them and appreciate them, then and take them into your heart, then there's no problem, you know, in the material world like that. You know? You know? And so this is, you know, he's dedicating the results to Krishna. But and probably especially emphasizing deity worship. You know? And what's it go? Sannyasi, how's it go? Vairagya bhai gramya kata nashunibe kane gramya kata na kahibe jabi milibe ane. It's in the song by Jagannatha Pandit. It's in the Upadeshamrita. Radha Krishna hridayete sarvada sevibe balana karibe arana bara ara balana paribe. Don't dress very luxuriously, don't wear nice clothes. Radha Krishna hridayete sarvada sevibe. Always engage in worshipping Radha and Krishna in your heart of hearts. So generally speaking, this is more the consciousness of the sannyasi. He's supposed to be developing this, you know, seva in his heart, chanting, meditating, and always thinking of Krishna internally. You know? But grihastha ashram, usually for most people, is very stimulating for the senses and everything else. He becomes so absorbed in just thinking about my wife, my children. My little boy this morning, he's vomiting and, you know, his fever is going up like that. And should I go to work or stay home and help with him or, so many things. It's just natural. You know. In the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smarnam, Padasevam, Archanam, Prabhupada says that if a grihastha doesn't worship the deity according to his means, and that's the previous verse, it says that Maharaj Prithu was worshiping according to his means. If a grihastha doesn't worship a deity according to his means, Prabhupada says he's 100% guaranteed to fall down. Like that. Not just likely, but 100% guaranteed to fall down. You know? So for grihastha then, you know, deity worship is very, very essential. Like that. You know? And brahmacharis and sannyasis, again, they have simple life, and so they can just naturally be more on the mental platform. You see, many times brahmacharis are on the mental platform, right? Things like that. No. Floating around, spaced out. And then for that, you know, Prabhupada says there's so many rules and regulations, you know, of Vaishnava behavior. One should work according to the rules and regulations described in devotional service. So Krishna has to wake up at a certain time. Krishna has to have a bath. Krishna has to have, you know, things offer, a toothbrush. He has to have incense, flowers. And after that, there has to be different offerings during the day, different festivals, you know. There's so many, if you expand it, there's so many things in the deity worship. Jandivas and Panchangri, two brothers in Mayapur, twins. And, you know, from the very beginning, like, people say the Prabhupada said they came from Vaikuntha to help this movement. And in my experiences with them, it's like, you know, it seems like, you know, very likely. This time was, I'll regress here. I was in Mayapur for Prabhupada's, you know, disappearance festival this year, Chirababa. It was so nice, so much, you know, strength. Bhavananda was there, Bhati Charu Maharaj, and Panchangri, and Pankajangri, and Janivas. And who joined first? Was it Pankajangri? So Pankajangri was talking. His brother told him, we should see Prabhupada, some nice like that. You know, I'm really going to get involved more in this movement. So he said he went to see Prabhupada someplace and Prabhupada was giving a class, you know. He was listening. And Prabhupada was talking about how the Hare Krishna movement was going to take over the world, how there'd be no more wars, all the cows would live forever, and you know, everything would be so wonderful. He was going on and on. And he said in the beginning he thought Prabhupada was telling a joke like that. You know, he was waiting for the point where Prabhupada would give the punchline and everybody would laugh. He was listening like that, listening. You know. And he said after a little bit he began to realize that Prabhupada wasn't telling a joke, that Prabhupada was serious. You know. Then he came to the conclusion, this man is insane. This man is mad. You know. Then the next thing he realized was, he's mad and I'm going to help him. And it was, he said it was just like, it wasn't a matter of his choice. He realized this is not a matter of my choice. It's just that he's crazy and I'm going to help him. So, okay. You know? So we all have our karma, our destiny, you know. So anyway, I think it was him. It was or maybe you know, Johnny Boss. They got the first Shilas, the Shaligram Shilas. And then I think it was with the Shilas, Prabhupada was explaining to them how to do the puja like that. And also maybe more sophisticated puja for Radha Madhava, like that. And so he was saying, first you do this, and you do that, then you pour this water this way, and you mix this up, you do that, and this kind of things. And so Panchajangri was saying, well, Prabhupada, first that, then this, then do that. And he said, no, like this and like that. So he said it went on a few times, and Prabhupada said, okay, just offer everything to me, and I'll do it for you. I'll take care of it like that, you know. So there's so many rules and regulations. You know, that you can do, and they're nice. If you actually can follow them, they're very nice. For example, before you go on the altar, you know, we like to say a few prayers and touch our head to show the door guard that we're not coming there to cause any mischief. We're coming to be a servant like that. Otherwise, you don't go on the altar. You go someplace else. It looks like the altar, but it's not the altar. And you feel like that. It feels very superficial like that because you're not allowed to go and see Krishna. So there's a guard at the door, the altar. Now, if you're really going to worship him, you have to draw like five lines on the thing in front of the door, different lanes, different colors, and you've got to say different prayers and do all different things and soul water and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. So, if you're a Brahmana and you're born in a Brahmin family and you're raised up that way, you can do this whole thing like, you know, in a matter of a few seconds like that and keep your mind focused and get the result, you know. But for us, you know, it's like, you know, maybe next generation, you know. You know. So there are so many rules and regulations like that, and they work. And you know, and so this is, you know, karma yoga. You know, karma yoga. You know, sacrificing the results of your work to Krishna like that. So any questions at this point or comments? Karma yoga? What's above this? Oh, what is you? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conversation with the Thakurbhavis.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was very giving on the moon. He said that this is all ritualistic, relative activity. He was not in the mood of really accepting that as an answer.
I've seen also many, one in America is one big Christian preacher, Rick Warren. He has like 10,000 people coming to his church on Friday and Saturday. He's spun off 25 more churches. Many devotees are reading his books because he really has church administration down really well. Very good ideas about how it works, how people react, like that and stuff. Very nice, yeah. But if you read his philosophy, it's good philosophy. It's like, what is the purpose of life? He says, it's not your purpose, it's God's purpose. What, you know, if you're trying to find out what you want to do, you're never going to be happy. God has his plan for your life. You know, so he has some good ideas like that. But ultimately, his idea is that God is happy when you're following your varna ashram rules and regulations. That pleases him. You know, you should have a lot of children, enjoy, you know, sense gratification within your marriage bounds, and take care of poor people, and be a good citizen. You know, you should be follow varna ashram. And then God is happy. That pleases God. You know? So this is the karma, you know, karma Kandi section, pretty much, almost like that. You know? So here it's a little well, yeah, it's not describing it. It's just a point. Here it's just saying that sacrifice the fruits of your activities to Krishna. Because in karma yoga, things are not that clear. You know, the logical understanding, the relationships, that comes with jnana yoga. You know, karma mishra bhakti yoga. Brahmandi ramate kaum bhagyavan jeev. You got some experience of the goal like that. That's what I want to do. I want to be a pure devotee. I want to follow A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. You know, I had an experience like that. But here I am. You know, Okay, so what do I do first? Well, mostly usually is karma mishra, bhakti yoga. It's bhakti yoga, but it's especially focused on this level of karma yoga. You know, I got to sacrifice the results of my different activities, learn how to do that, you know, become detached, get my karma, purify my karma. You know, give up smoking marijuana, give up eating chicken, you know, whatever our attachments are like that. You know. And if you do that, the result is you start getting wisdom like this. You see, well, that doesn't work. That works. That happened. Why didn't that work? So you develop this very nice analytical understanding of the philosophy. You know certain verses. You know how they relate, what their relationship is. You can explain things logically. When your senses become agitated, your intelligence can tell them, no, we did that, remember? And then they say, oh, yeah, that's a fact, you know, stuff. And this is better. Do that. Come on, sit down. You know, I mean, so many times when I was going on the altar at noontime, temple in San Francisco, so many things happen before that, and you get to come there, and you're just like, kind of like, there's nobody else there, and it's the cook, and oh, what am I going to go on the altar now, and your mind's agitated and everything else. But, you know, my intelligence would tell my mind, look, you know, every single time when you get on there and you start to follow the process, you become happy and blissful. You know, oh, yeah, that's a fact, you know. And it was. I go on, you know, and get better at it each time. You know, you improve it, you know. So you develop, you know, analytical knowledge of devotional service and how to engage your senses and what the results are and what is this material world, the opposing things. But if your goal is you know, pure devotional service from the very beginning, then that colors the karma yoga. It's not just karma yoga, it's karma mishra bhakti yoga. Yeah? And so they were kind of preaching this, that's God, you know, God's, forget it. God's happy or not, we don't care really. I mean, in terms of like, well, what would God like? Would God like, you know, to eat something? Or would God like, you know, does God have a girlfriend? Or no, God's in heaven, you know, and he's happy when we're happy, when we're following our karma yoga, like that. So there's no real appreciation for what God is a person. He's just like, you know, if you go out sometimes, you look at your automobile. In the United States, you have your little Christian things. You have them here too? Under your windshield wiper, they have little things that Christians put there with little stories. In the United States, they have a lot of those. So you go out, there's one there. And I always remember one of them like that. And they're kind of interesting little stories, like pictures, you know. So there's one man, he was smoking his cigarette and watering his lawn like that, you know. Then a Christian preacher came by and was preaching to him, and he shot water on him. That chased him away, you know. So then after some time, he had a heart attack. He died, you know. And he went to, something like heaven or something, you know. And so God was sitting there like this, you know. And God was about my size. And his throne was like a park bench, like cement with no ornaments. And he had a robe with no design, just a plain robe. And he had a white light where his face was supposed to be, you know. And the bubble coming out with his words like that, you know. And all the people were coming to be judged. And the people were about like this big. They were all kind of lined up. There's a long line. And the angels are the size of carrots like that, kind of keeping control in the line like that, you know. So somebody would come and God would say, oh, depart thou, O accursed sinner, to eternal damnation. And the door would open. It was a fire, you know, flap, you know. And all these guys were in there. Oh, we're sorry. Ha ha, too late. You know, that, you know. Then, oh, depart thou, O blessed one, to eternal bliss. And the door would open. And it was nothing. This is light. Like that, you know. Go to hell, go to heaven, go to hell, go to heaven. Wait a little bit. Go to heaven, go to hell. Lunchtime, you know, open his lunchbox up. Sandwich, talks to the angels, closes it again, you know. Okay, go to heaven, go to hell, go to heaven. Yeah. That's their idea of God, you know. So he, yeah, that's all he does. He is, you know, we're having more fun than many things. Also, that was somebody, Jehovah's Witness thing. So many times, they have a picture of heaven. There's one black guy, one yellow guy, one lion, one lamb, and five or six white guys like that. And the background is a little house with a television set on top, television antenna on top. And everybody's there but Jesus. Jesus is not there. You know, what to speak of God, you know, like that, you know. And you're having, you know, good time like that. And it's really, it's just, you know, their impression of what is, you know, the heaven like that, you know. What dreams may come. With Robin Williams, won all these awards. It was Pitri Loka, exactly Pitri Loka. He died, went to some place, he kind of disoriented, somebody helps him, tries to orient him, and different mystical powers are available. And finally he says, well, where's God in all of this? And his guide says, he's up there, died. God ki jai. Goddess ki jai. Yeah. His guide says, well, he's up there trying to tell us that he loves us and wondering why we can't listen. Ho, ho, ho. Okay, back to Pitriloka. And it was there. It's like a Rajarshik Purana. God's there. Everything there. But it's just like the emphasis is on Pitriloka. Then his wife committed suicide. He had to find her in hell, go bring her back, and all this kind of stuff. And all this. It was just all. He finally found all of his family members. He found the dog. Everybody, they were all there together. It's like the Mormons. You know, Pitriloka. Everybody can be together, you know, and stuff. And his rules, you know. So different levels of, you know, of consciousness, like that. So the Tattvavadis, their conception of God wasn't very clear, you know. And that they called that devotional service. So that's the point I was going to make. This is karma yoga, but in the Bhagavad Gita is talking about two kinds of karma yoga. One is to sacrifice the results of your work, and the other kind is? No. To actually sacrifice the work itself. Yeah. Because Arjuna can give up, he's playing the role of somebody who can give up the result. When the battle's over, if he wins, he wants Krishna to ride on the big elephant. If Duryodhana wins, Duryodhana wants Duryodhana to ride on the big elephant like that, and all the girls to throw flowers and, you know. So, but Arjuna can sacrifice the results to Krishna. The kingdom is for you, like that. But he's playing the role of somebody who's attached to the mode of working, right? He can't give up working like a Kshatriya, you know. He can give up the results of his karma, but he can't give up his karma, you know. Some lady, some brahmacharini, doing very well, making flower garlands every day, doing book distribution, everything's very nice. But she's feeling like this is not a real life. You know, real life means to have a husband and, you know, go through life with him and have some children and train them properly and take care of people and, you know. So she's not satisfied until she's married. Okay, my kids, if they all become brahmacharis and leave me alone in a house with spiders and an old woman, I don't care. I can give them to Krishna, but I got to have children. I got to raise them up. I got to, you know. So she's attached to her mode of working, but she's not attached to the result. So that's the next kind of karma, where you just, instead of giving the results to Krishna, you just, whatever I can do, whatever I am, I give that to you. So if I'm an administrator, I go working for some big company and make money and get the results. No, I'll sacrifice all that and become an administrator in the Hare Krishna movement, right? You know. Yeah. One devotee, he was Bhakta Vatsal. He was, you know, I had like 50 people under him. He was in a healthcare insurance company, United States healthcare. And he was really good, man. Wow, I heard him on the phone sometimes with crazy people and medical things, and he was just so expert. I mean, dealing with mad people and bringing them under control and, you know, arranging things like that. Wow, it was really good. Yeah. So he was in our temple in San Jose in California, and he thought, things are so disorganized here. I'm going to become president and take charge of everything and get it all organized, and like, so things will be efficient, you know. So after 2 months, 3 months, he said, wow, he said, it's totally different managing for a non-profit corporation than a profit corporation. Managing volunteers as opposed to managing karmis like that. What to speak of people who are religiously motivated. This is totally different, you know. He said, being an administrator in ISKCON is like herding cats. Like herding cats, like that, you know. So, you know, when they don't want to do anything, they just sit there, you know. You know, yeah. But when they want to do something, he said, you can't pay people to work like this. People just will not work like this for any amount of money. So it's a whole different thing, you know, managing in a religious organization like that. Yeah. So this is what we're talking about then, is now we're dealing with another kind of karma yoga, yeah, which is, I think it's called nice karma yoga, where you actually sacrifice your mode of working to Krishna. Yeah. And then you sacrifice your understanding like that. Yeah. I mean, you have your own opinion about why you're doing sacrifice, what the results should be like that, your attitude towards things, you know. But then finally, Krishna keeps beating on you. Finally, you give it up and you get a different attitude. You know? And that's jnana. You develop a logical understanding the way Krishna wants to see things. Prabhupada's logical understanding was, first, we have to make money, get some prestige, and then people will listen to our preaching. Krishna's idea was, you start preaching and people will listen and the money and the prestige will come. Right? So he's probably said, it was an old argument between me and Krishna. But finally Krishna won. And I was left with, I had nothing, And I was just forced to preach. And I saw it was true. Everything came like that, you know. So it's a different intelligence, you know. And it's very subtle, you know. It was on like that. We have to hear about it many times, analyze it, and see our own intelligence, how we're looking at things. Intelligence is in the heart. You know, the mind is in the brain. You know, indriya, manas, buddhi. Generally, that's the way it works like that. So the attitude, the perspective, the subconscious is fixed in the heart. And we have a certain, you know, perspective, you know. And then, you know, jnana mishra bhakti, and then? Dhyana mishra bhakti. Now we can meditate on Krishna like that. We can meditate on the holy name. We can, our mind is fixed, you know, as I have to do this and that. Intelligence says, no, that's all taken care of. We got a plan. Now you're supposed to focus on the mantra. Meditate on Krishna. Or meditate on the deities like that, you know. You're not thinking about something else while you're dressing them. You can really focus on Krishna, what he looks like that. Yeah? And then it's jhana. And then from that, then finally, then bhava comes. Little Kapila, what Kapiladeva says, when the yogi comes to the point of meditating on the super soul in his heart, he won't feel anything. He can see him clearly, no distraction. This is what, this is Vishuddhasattva. Purified goodness. There's nothing else there. You can see Krishna face to face. Well, no, at least Narayan. You know? Narayan. But there's no feeling. You can't really appreciate Lakshmi. You know. Somebody says, go on meditating, go on meditating. And at some point, something will happen. Like you put a sponge in water, dry sponge, you pull it out, still dry. You know. But if you, what happens if you hold it in the water? What happens? Well, what happens more precisely? Huh? But before that, it's in the water, it's completely dry. Huh? And you haven't watched this, have you? The air goes out. But if you look at it, one spot, one fiber someplace gets wet. The water just somehow really gets into one place. And then it starts to spread like that. You know? So one thing will happen. One example again, somebody devotee, Sriman Pandit Das. He was serving Radha Shamasundar in Vrindavan. In the very first days when there was like, you know, always disease, he had tuberculosis on his back. He would, on the altar doing the artik at like, you know, 45 degrees or something like that with tuberculosis and had diarrhea and he had to pray to God, let's finish the artik. I can't run to the bathroom now. Oh God, please help me. You know, like that and running off the altar, you know. So he had all these experiences of just, you know, serving Radha Shamasundar. Then he came back to San Francisco. That's when I met him. He was our temple commander and, you know, doing a lot of stuff. And finally, he went to Santa Cruz over the hills and he and Mother Nichirupa got married. And then he opened a vegetarian prasadam restaurant. Then after a while, it became a vegetarian restaurant. After a while, they became Christians and, you know, like that. He left, slowly left ISKCON. But after about 2 or 3 years, he told me this whole story, you know. One other Mataji who lived in Santa Cruz, it's over the hills like that, a lot of devotees there, said, oh, Pandit, my husband's working on Prabhupada's disappearance day, so please, you take me to, you know, with me to the temple in Berkeley. It's about an hour, hour and a half away. And he said, well, you know, I can't go and stuff. And I've already been through that, you know, and I've gone on now. I've gone on to something else, you know, more advanced than Krishna consciousness. You know. I said, no, please, you know. So they were social friends, so in the end he was forced to drive her there. But he said he had all these plans about how he wasn't going to get involved. He wasn't going to take prasadam. He wasn't going to do this. Everything was like, it was all fixed, you know. If someone, you know, he went there and it was a big festival. They decorated the Vyasa sound like a swan. They had candles around every single part of the archetribes. Yeah, candles were all there like that in the temple. I said it was just really beautiful, but no, it's okay, you know. Better things in the you know, this and that museum, you know. Oh, Pandit! No, Paul. Hello, Paul. You know. So it's going on and on like this. Everything was okay, you know, like that. And then for the final artik, all the lights went down. And they were, you know, going on with the artik. And he said he forgot one little place down there. One little hole like that, you know. He said, when the pujari went up with the chamra for Prabhupada, he said from the time it went up, the time it came down, everything just blew away. He said, because he went up, he remembered Radha Shamasundar and all of his sacrifice for them. And by the time it came down, every single was gone like that. He was, yeah, woke up. And he started crying. He went outside. He was sitting in front of the temple. And somebody came out and said, Paul, what's wrong? He said, Pundit. Yeah. He said, it was just like Ajameel. You know, he said he just forgot Krishna, you know, somehow or other, because of his activities. You know, and then he was remembered again like that. So it's like that. Within the level of bhava, you know, Raganuga Bhakti, Vaidhi Bhakti, is something at some point, something, you remember something, some smell, the lotus feet of Krishna, the tulsi leaves, or what else, you know. The Srimad Bhagavatam, something will stimulate, you know, your real feelings towards Krishna, like that. And then after that, bhava bhakti, then there's so many things in bhava bhakti to increase that, you know, until your bhava, you know, the bhava extends to your whole world. Then you have to intensify it, you know. Bhava is the immature stage of prema. Same thing. You know, you just got to intensify it so Krishna can reciprocate with it, you know. And that's the whole, you know, starting off with karma yoga. Like that. Yeah? Yeah. And again, you know, my comprehension is also, it's not like boxes. You know, German boxes, like, I'm German, so I can say that. No, it's like a curve, more or less, you know. Maybe you're at the level of nishta, and still you have, you know, some doubts, but not many, you know. And sometimes you have some taste, but not all the time, and sometimes a little higher. But mostly you're at the level of just being fixed and like that, you know, so on. So any final questions here? Comments? Okay, last comment. It was at 8:45, right? Okay, there we go.
I thought that was going to ask this, nevertheless.
Yeah.
It's related to the dilemma, money first, then
preaching.
Then preaching or preaching first.
Then money.
Money.
Yeah.
I was wondering how relevant is this for everybody in every circumstance, like for example for a community like that, they should have many grihasthas.
Yeah. Because again, different people are on different levels, so different medicine is proper for different people, like that. I've heard that Prabhupada was with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who left his body recently. And some program, some, you know, was it a comp, you know, lecture type program, different people there. And he said, Mahesh Yogi, yes, Prabhupada, you know, in your house you are worshipping Lakshmi and Narayan. I know this. Why are you not teaching your disciples to do the same things? And Mahesh Yogi said, Prabhupada, they're not ready. And Prabhupada said, that was it. Because, okay, yeah, some people just are not ready, you know. But let's not let them go to hell. Let's give them some facility where they can chant some mantra and be vegetarian. Okay, like that, you know, yeah. So if we're progressive, that's very nice. If we're staying at one level and denying everything else, that's something else. But we're saying, okay, this is my level. I can't just, you know, renunciation requires a certain kind of knowledge of your position in Krishna. Right? You know? And so if you do it artificially, you create all kinds of problems, and Prabhupada explains that. You know? So this is my level. I'm at the level of karma yoga. Therefore, what I should do is try and get a little money first and go off traveling with some equipment and stuff like that and do some kirtan programs with a few people organized like that. You know? And see that it didn't all work out, but Krishna filled in the gaps like that. Well, maybe if there's even more gaps, Krishna will fill those in too. You know? So then karma yoga is proper for many people like that. So we're saying, for grihasthas especially. You know? So Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki. Back home, back to Godhead. Thank you all.